Friends, our gospel reading this morning is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 12 through 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, it's a real privilege for me to get to be with you this morning on Trinity Sunday and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You may or may not know about me. I wasn't raised in the church, really. I wasn't a Christian as a youth. And when I became one during high school, the biggest thing that I would say happened to me on an understanding level was that I realized that God actually wanted a relationship with me and that we have a relational God. I had been told, you know, sort of not kind of intentionally, but sort of gotten the idea that God was just kind of a maker of judges and, I mean, of rules and laws, and that God was fairly distant other than that. And that wasn't good news to me. But when I learned that God loved me, and that God wanted to be in relationship with me, it all changed. And I'm forever thankful for that, and I think that's part of how we understand the Trinity, so I'm so excited for that. I'll also say that as it's Trinity Sunday, I don't know if it's my job to try to kind of teach you and give you a great, clear understanding of the Trinity. I hope not, because I don't think I'm going to do a good job of that this morning. Instead, I'm really going to be emphasizing the mystery, but I do think that God has a lot for us in learning about that mystery of the Trinity this morning. And I can tell you a couple things that I know are not true about the Trinity. One is that that God is somehow the polytheistic in the Christian religion, that there are three gods, three separate gods. That's not Christianity, I can tell you that. And I can also tell you that the three persons of the Trinity, this is called modalism, are not just three different modes of one person. So it's not something like, you get a glass of water and you say, oh, I can either drink this or I can freeze it, but it's just the same exact water. Somehow that's not exactly right either, even though I certainly think it's a step in the right direction from polytheism, but the church has called that heresy. But other than that, I don't think I'm going to do a lot of teaching about the Trinity today, other than to describe it as a mystery for me, and we'll go into that together, but I think there will be great news in that understanding. So one of the things for me about the Trinity is that I believe that it shows that God is relational to the very core. Somehow, and there's a lot of mystery here, God's very self, just God in God's self, is social. It's an amazing thing, right? That's not really true for us, but somehow it's true for God, that God in God's self is social. There are three persons within God. And within God, there is relationship. This Trinity Sunday, I believe God is inviting us to wonder, to take the posture of wonder toward God, that we may move deeper into our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. Remember, church, it's our lived experience that as God's story becomes our story, as more and more the story of the Christian faith becomes the story of each of our lives, we are invited to be transformed, experiencing the abundant life that there is in Christ. In other words, what we know of God in faith impacts every part of how we live in God's love. At least for me, and I think this is probably true of just about everyone, to consider God's triune nature is an invitation to humility and to wonder, right? Because it's beyond our understanding in a lot of ways. Almost every Christian scholar and theologian has called the Trinity a mystery. And so, in some ways, I think when you say mystery, you're acknowledging humility. And I really wish that this was one of the things that led us in terms of how the church was known in the world as a people who are humble. I mean, I think as Trinitarians, as people who believe in something as mysterious as the Trinity, we should have a posture of humility in so many things in this life, and we should be practiced in it. And yet, oftentimes, right, that's not how the church is depicted. The church isn't experienced that way by many. They're experienced as people who think that they know it all or think that they have the exact rules, the exact ways. I think we should have to start from a place of humility, and I believe talking about the Trinity is a great invitation into that. God is one, and yet there are three distinct persons of the Trinity. I'm not a math scholar, but I'll tell you, for me, that's confusing in my understanding of math. It's God's one, and yeah, there's God's three, but God's one, really. That's confusing for me. And I'm somebody who believes in math. I believe in logic. I think of those things as objectively true. In other words, I think they're true independent of experience. And yet, I'm confused by it. I don't know exactly how the mathematical part works to the Trinity. And so I just have to say this is a source of humility for me and something that I need to wonder in and something that I can say I don't know. And then another part of it that I'll tell you for me is confusing. I was a philosophy major in college, and St. Thomas Aquinas, wonderful philosopher and Catholic theologian, you know, he taught that God is simple. Not simple in the ways that we would use that word probably, but simple in the sense that God is pure, God is purely substance, that everything that there is about God is one. And so for me, that seems very right. And the Trinity, to me, muddies that a little bit. And I go, well then, why does there need to be these three distinct persons? I don't really get it. What, couldn't it just be the one perfect one? I get confused by that, and even Aquinas calls it a mystery himself. And so, I don't know. I have trouble with that on a just kind of an intellectual understanding level. And so again, for me, that's an invitation to say, I can be humble, and I can say I don't know, and I can wonder with and toward God regarding the Trinity and so many other things in this life. So, there's much more to the Trinity. There's much more about the Trinity that makes me say I don't know, or I'm not sure, or I'm surprised by that, or even I'm confused by that. And you know, this week as I've been preparing for the sermon, I think God wanted to tell me that's okay, John, and I think you can say that to the church, that that's okay. And those statements, I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm surprised by that, I'm confused by that. Those are okay statements to make sometimes about God, sometimes about scripture, sometimes about all kinds of things in life. And that posture of humility, in fact, is a very Christian posture. And so I think we're invited to that together today on this Trinity Sunday. Now, in this time of transition in my life, where I just prayed this beautiful prayer, and it is time of transition for many of us, I have been considering the mystery of relationships. Have you not had the experience, like I have oftentimes, of seeing a couple, whether a married couple or a newly going together couple, or just people that are really close friends or something, and thought, how did that work? I mean, how does that work? Those two people don't fit together, at least in our understanding, our minds. Or, wow, those two people are so different. I'm amazed by that friendship or by that marriage or whatever it is. I do that a lot, to be honest with you. And I find it interesting. And I'll tell you, I even have some of the same thoughts when I kind of reflect back over my last 3 years here in this church. It's interesting to me to be honest with myself about who I feel like I've really connected with, and we grew together in different ways, and people that I didn't. And sometimes, to me, it really defies logic. I think, wow, I would have thought this person and I would have been complete best buds or whatever, and this person and I wouldn't have, and sometimes that's not how it worked out. And I'm even thinking about it in regards to this transition ahead for me of moving to Covenant United Methodist Church July 1. And I'm already thinking thoughts, to be honest with you, of, wow, some of these people really love Pastor Stella, and I'm already aware of ways that she and I are quite different, and so I have this thought of, oh goodness, are they going to like me if they like her? We're so different. And I think there is. I think there's great mystery to relationships in this life, and why some work and some don't, and why some of us are drawn together so strongly, and then at other times some of us, you know, really kind of drift apart. I think there's great mystery there, but I'll tell you, friends, I actually think that mystery is really beautiful and a gift from God. I mean, would you imagine if life was so simple that we had these kind of very simple, formula to who we would marry and who we would get along with and who we wouldn't? I really think that would be a real disservice to what this life can be for us in Christ, where we live with our open relationships, and when God might have something for us in one another at different seasons in our lives. But it's not something that we can just find out by some sort of formula where we don't have to get to know the person. It's something that we experience in relationship with one another. I think that mystery is a gift and something so beautiful. And so I hope that that's an invitation for all of us to live more openly, to live thinking that maybe God has something beautiful in one another for me and for us. As we meet new people, as we think about people that we may realize, gosh, I've been in the same church or in the same workplace or in the same hobby or whatever it is for years and we've never really connected. Maybe I haven't been open enough. Those are some of the things that I feel like God is inviting me into in this season of my life. But what I have learned about relationships is that humility and wonder are some of the real key ingredients. I was thinking about in preparation for this sermon the people in my life who I don't really get along with and the people who I'm not really that excited to go spend time with. And I'll tell you, it's because they have the opposite of those things. They are people who, whether this is true or not, it's my perception that they have, that they're really prideful, right? It feels like that if you go and spend time with somebody and you didn't get a word in, you felt like the whole night. That's usually probably not your favorite person to hang out with if you're anything like me. Or if you think that, for me, the opposite of wonder is kind of boredom. And so if you feel like the people who, they don't think there's anything interesting about one another to learn or something that we can go into together, for me, that's probably not a relationship I'm going to be really excited about. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's most of our experience, that we probably aren't really drawn towards people that we would characterize as prideful or people that we would characterize as boring because they put up walls with us or with one another. And I'll tell you, I've heard that from other people. I talk to my parents all the time, and I'll ask them how their social occasions have gone, and usually if they've had a negative one, that's what they'll say, is that somebody talked the whole time or wouldn't stop about something. In times that they were really good, it felt like there was a much more open attitude and curiosity that guided their time together. And so I think that's true for many of us. And so I hope it's an invitation for all of us to prioritize in our own life humility and wonder. So of course the opposite is true, right? I think it's really fun when we go and spend time with people and it seems like they ask great questions and it seems like they're curious about us and we're curious about them and it seems like there's something more that we both are wanting from life together and there's a journey that we want to go on. I think that's fun for most of us and the start of a great friendship or an opportunity to deepen friendship. So I hope that's something that we look for more and more in how we spend our time and the postures we take with one another as people who are in relationships. And so as I try to gaze upon God and God's triune nature, I express those statements. I don't know. I'm not sure. I find that surprising and mysterious. I experience from God an invitation to be with God and to keep wondering. An invitation to move into all those other possible relationships around me with some of those same kind of statements and some of those same kind of postures. Think about if this was things that you would say to one another. Here's something I don't know. Maybe you could help me. I've been wondering about this. What do you have, or what have you learned, or what do you have experience with that might relate to that? Or I'm surprised by this. What are your thoughts on it? Those could be, you know, could be talking about all kinds of things that are going on in our common life together. But I think if we start from those postures, that posture of humility and curiosity, I really believe God has a lot for us in one another. In fact, I think God's very self is somehow available to us, God's spirit, within those relationships. So, Leander United Methodist Church, I ask you those questions. How are your relationships? When you worship as Leander United Methodist Church and as a part of your experience within this community, are your relationships growing? Are they deepened? How about your relationships with your family? Does your worship here have a positive impact on that? Does it make a big difference on what kind of a sister and brother and mother and father and friend you are? What about with other kinds of friends? What about your relationships with sisters and brothers in this church? What about your relationships with strangers? How is our worship and our discipleship here in this community impacting your relationships? I think those are important questions that we need to keep asking ourselves as a church, and it's an invitation for us to go deeper into our priorities as we consider our teaching at this church and as we consider what we talk about together. As this is my last sermon here, at least for a few years, right, Larry? Yeah. Larry took a few years off, so. So I shouldn't say never, but one of my last sermons here, my last sermon for a while, I'll take this opportunity to share my opinion about it. I'll tell you, friends, I think LUMC is a really special church, and I'm so touched by the time I've had here, and I think one of the reasons for that is the great Christian friendships that exist in this congregation, which make for a loving and just warm and great community. That I'm so thankful for, and I really think they're a portrait of the abundant life that there is in Christ. I believe that's a gift from God and the strength of this church. And it happened in many different ways, many different origins for people. Some were more organic, where I couldn't even pin it down exactly. A lot of people, it's for through a small group, an Emmaus group, it's through a Sunday school class, it's through the choir, it's through another shared ministry, it's through shared service. It happens a lot of times. And people have found great Christian friendships. But I'll also tell you that that's not true of everybody in this congregation. There are people in this church that haven't been able to find that for a variety of different reasons. So for some, I think they never got kind of into the right entryway. And you can potentially be a part of this church in many faithful ways and not necessarily get the right path or the entryway that led to those great Christian friendships that many people have in this congregation. I think that's also true of our visitors, right? One of the challenges is that as you become a church that has great Christian friendships, people kind of have their friendship quotient satisfied sometimes, and they think, well, I'm not coming to church needing more friends. In fact, they might feel like I already am not a good enough friend to the ones I have. And so it can be hard coming here Sunday morning and being really hospitable to new visitors and caring for them in those type of ways when you have already such great friendships and don't feel that kind of same need in your own life. And yet this is a huge call of what it means to be a Christian and member of this church, is somebody who is looking for God in the visitor and in the stranger and showing God's hospitality to each. And so that's a challenge that I think we need to be aware of and make sure that we keep prioritizing our hospitality and our friendships with visitors. I'll tell you, I mean, I think one of the ways that it happens to me a lot of times is I feel satisfied. I feel like we've got such great Christian friendships here that I'm maybe not looking for new ones. And so I'm not looking for God in new people in this church, but they go, oh, I already get a lot of God through my great friendship with Ray, my great friendship with this person and this person. And so maybe I don't have that posture of openness that God would invite me to towards the rest of the congregation or towards new people. And so again, I hope this is an invitation for us to increase openness. As I consider the Trinity, I'm guided to think of so much of what God has for us to learn is meant to be learned within relationships. And so sometimes I haven't been open enough to those around me and thus to my God. What I have learned about relationships is that humility is completely key. And so I hope that we'll continue to wonder together. As I spend more time in our scripture this morning, I see this word glory. Did you notice that? The word glory was used 3 or 4 times, I believe, in our short 4 verses this morning, or 5 verses this morning, yeah, 4 verses, when we think about the Trinity's relationships. There is a glory in passing something of value from one to another. There is a glory in someone reflecting something that they received from another. There's a glory in submission, where someone else plays a role that you once played or someone else once played. You know, it's Father's Day, a day in which we celebrate family. And I realize that the same truth that I think the Johannine authors of John 16 get right here, that I've experienced in my own life. There's a glory when you've given something that matters to a child, right? The times in my life I've seen something in one of my children and I've gone, oh, I had a part in that. And they're onto something and they're getting something. And something good is happening. There's something glorious about that. There's something truly special. And likewise, when I think about my own father and things, lessons that I've learned from him and values that I've taken from him and truths that I've made my own truths in my life that came with him as the origin, there's something really special about that, something really beautiful, and I would say something glorious. For me, I mean, some of the examples for me are passing on to a child, you know, the ability to share, or a readiness to ask questions, or even a joy in different games or hobbies. That's one of the things that I think about, as silly as it might sound. I think, you know, I think maybe Corbin really likes that, or I think Noel maybe really likes that because I do. But I think that's okay. They're getting a real joy from it. And so I think there's something beautiful that's happening there. So, friends, I got to tell you that as a pastor in your church, I don't really understand exactly the nature of the Trinity or why the Trinity, why God is triune. I don't exactly understand why is it that God the Father had to send the Son? God the Father couldn't come just God's self? Or why, after Christ was raised from the dead, why did he have to go again? Couldn't he have just stayed? I mean, so it's great that God sent the Spirit of truth, and that's wonderful, but couldn't Jesus have just stayed? I don't really have the perfect answer to those questions for myself, but I have learned in my own life, and I do see in the Trinity, that there is something beautiful, something glorious, to this passing of the batons, to this passing of what is right and what is true and what is good, moving from one generation to another in submission and mutuality and sharing. And so I'm invited to look at the Trinity and to wonder and to even grow in love and in my understanding of God and my love for one another. I believe that relationships are mysteriously core to God's very self, and that they are core to our life in Christ. We see God and experience love and joy as we relate to one another in God's Spirit. The abundant life that there is in Christ is not the unattainable journey to the top of our careers or the perfection of knowing everything, nor any of the other many things in this life that we often seek on our own. But instead, friends, I believe it's very good news that the riches in Christ are available right here and everywhere, and everywhere we go, as we seek Christ in one another and as we seek Christ together. One thing I do understand about the Trinity is that God is love, and that God invites us to a life that is defined by love today and each day, and where relationships become our core. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.